The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't realize that we are officially a fishing podcast. This transition was weird, but it's good. I'm happy to be a maritime podcast now.
I know. And I guess this is the only fishing place where like girls can play.
Oh my
God. I mean, this very podcast.
Yeah, I agree. I walked by a sign today that pointed up that said men working above. I wanted to take inventory and see if there was a single woman working up there.
I mean, I guess when it collapses to the ground, you'll know that there wasn't. Also, again, my lady fisher people, please reach out. I know you're out there.
Honestly.
I know you're like on, you know, the biggest catch or whatever it's called, or I don't know,
whatever.
I know you're doing some work out there, but these documentaries would have you believe that there are no girls allowed. I don't like it.
Hi, Jillian Bensavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Oh, God. We got through a lot in that cold open.
We did. I don't know where we were going, but we landed right here.
You called it the biggest catch, and I just wanted to be like, no, that was like
what
the game
show
where I met Steve Tipton.
Oh, cute.
The deadliest catch,
I think. The deadliest catch.
I don't know.
I never watched it.
I know that people love it, and it's a lifestyle. I don't know why anybody does the fishing. And I don't mean like the regular fishing. I get that. But I mean like the scary, dangerous fishing.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a question. The ice road truckers, are the roads always covered in ice?
Fam, before we look, we're 9 hours into the episode already. I just remind you to join the Patreon, mostly because it's more Jillian and me, but also because there's a thing called Schwa.
Yeah.
And Schwa's a drag queen who hosts our drag bingo.
We love Schwa. And she is amazing. And she does drag bingo and she's a pro. And she runs that show like a very tight ship. Again, another fishing pun. I'm so sorry. I can't help myself. But we have the best time. The playlist is on fire. The chat is on fire. The prizes are on fire.
It's crazy. Well, just one more thing I wanted to say. So on Patreon is where we cover the long form series, the ones that are multiple episodes.
Yes.
Right now we're in the middle of the Ashley Madison one, and I have to tell you, I think it's one of the most interesting documentaries we've covered since The Jinx, which was like 2 weeks
ago. Which we just stopped like yesterday.
But they're all so interesting. But do you like the Ashley Mads?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to get to the big bombshell in EP3.
Oh my God, there's a big bombshell in EP3?
There's something that like was so obvious, but I never really knew. We'll get there.
patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed, or just go to Patreon and search for True Crime Obsessed.
Sure.
And that's it. What are we talking about today?
So this is called Murder in the Cove. This is about the murder of a man named Philip Boudreau. It's on Apple TV and Amazon Prime and Google Play and a whole bunch of
I watched
places.
It on Amazon.
I forget where I watched it.
Okay.
This concept of vigilante justice is just never right.
There's no winner here.
The damage breakdown in the middle of the boat. I would call that beat to fuck, my lord.
When you grow up in a fishing area, there's one thing you know of, and it's not to steal from a fisherman.
We did what we did. It wasn't right. It definitely wasn't right for them to go fucking kill him over lobster, though.
That's not murder, that's torture. He tortured a man before he died.
I could never understand people coming up to me and saying he got what he deserved.
There was a line right down the middle, just tore the community apart.
All right, so we are in Isle Madam, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Yeah, it's a big fishing town. All the men were fishermen, which is what they say, like the first line.
Like, but like the other thing that we just did about the fishing, what was it called?
It was an episode of Smug Shots. It was one of our bonus episodes, but it was called Fishing for the Truth.
You know that there are, we've said this in that one, like, you know that all like the lady lesbians are fisher people.
Or just like women in general. I don't know. Again, all men were fishermen in this town of Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
It's like, and it goes, but we learn it goes back generations, this whole thing.
And this is like a very small, tiny little town where they say that like fishing is the only work you could do because it's literally like you can't farm there because of it's a very rocky coastline.
Yeah.
Fishing is the industry of this island.
Yeah. And we learn a lot of close-knit families. We're practically all related. Someone says the island was very isolated for a long time. And someone says we kept a lot of the older things longer than probably you people would have. And I'm like, sheesh.
As they were like, but when they said that, they were showing us cows. I'm like, yeah. Well, we still have cows over here.
You people. I don't go then. Well, I'm a lady. I'm not invited anyway.
Talk about the bisexuals looking right at you.
Like,
do you know what I mean?
You people.
I know.
Okay.
But they say
we have a do-it-yourself culture where people try to take care of their own problems themselves.
It's a great place. It's just one unfortunate incident.
One unfortunate incident.
It was a big do-it-yourself culture.
Yeah.
Salt of the earth. So Sergeant Mark McPherson is here, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
RCMP.
Yeah, a Mountie. There's a call about an overturned boat, and the boat was damaged, and maybe there are bullet holes, and it's kind of like a big deal.
There's a missing person connected to the boat, but he's like, it looks like more than just like a boat that got overturned in weather or something like that.
Yeah.
Which I would imagine, like, in the fishing communities, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cost of doing business, I guess.
Yeah.
Or like, boats overturning, right? What about the fucking truckers? Didn't I just learn about that?
Geronimo! Like trucks just go, they just go
occupational
over.
Occupational hazard. You gotta,
But also nobody stops to check
I'm
on the truckers.
I'm not saying murder. I'm just saying that accidents happen on a boat. That's why you have to wear a life vest.
That's why we live in the city. I walked past a cockroach in my building lobby the other day, and it was the most traumatizing thing to happen to me in a while.
Did it run after you?
No, sometimes but I was afraid that it was. I immediately thought of you. It was 4 a.m. I'm like, that thing is in my mouth. Yeah. I can't see it.
Sometimes they fly. Sometimes they run. They hiss. It's just like fucking barrel laughs.
If a cockroach ever hissed at me, I think that I would not. I would check myself into Bellevue.
I mean, I think that that's the thing that's like, that just makes you the Hulk and then you kill it.
Yeah, if something
hissed at me, I'd be like, fuck you. Like, I would just kill, like, right? If it hisses at you, don't, like, I just feel like you're itching, just stomping, you're stomping it. Don't you fucking hiss at me.
You took back the night in that moment.
Did you take the power back?
Being scared to being in charge.
I guess. You know what I mean? It's like hissing. Who does it think it's talking
hissing. To? Hissing. That is, I mean, a hissing cockroach.
I mean, I say that now.
That is horrendous.
But then I'll be like,
in
the corner of the padded room, hissing myself.
I am the cockroach.
And that's how it ends. They came and took me away.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Jean-Claude is here. He's a fisherman.
Yeah.
He is called by the police and asked about Philip Boudreau. And he says, they called to see if he was aboard my vessel. I'm like, I get it. You guys are very serious about the boats.
I know. It's your airtight vehicle.
Yeah.
The thing is about Jean-Claude, he is the cousin of our missing person.
Philip, yeah.
It takes them too long to tell us that.
Yes. But like they said, they're all related, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, Jake Boudreau is a journalist, and he heard that Philip disappeared. So he goes out to investigate.
Probably 24 people searching for him at that point in time. People didn't seem to really be worried. In the past, Philip had disappeared and reappeared again. So I think the belief was at the time that Philip was just going on one of his trips, you know, not to be found.
But I suspect that as time went on, that probably changed pretty fast.
Philip has done this before.
Yes.
He's disappeared and then reappeared. So at first...
Like several times.
Several times. And sometimes for months and months at a time.
Yes.
So at first, people are like not really sure what to think. Everyone's looking for him, but it's not like a search where... I mean, this guy does this a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? So we're back with Sergeant Mark.
Sorry, I just had a moment of like, I just love doing this with you.
Oh my God,
I'm sorry that I got a little bit lost in the, and I like you were talking.
I was like, he's not listening.
I
he has no idea
stopped listening because I was really just thinking like, this is such a fun job.
Oh, that's a nice reason.
Thanks for making
it so fun.
Usually
I don't know where your brain is going when those eyes glaze over. So it was nice that it was like for a good reason this time. Never know what's going on behind those eyes.
I'm just going to tell the people, I hated this documentary.
You hated it.
It took me so long to get through it. I thought it was so boring.
And it's 50 minutes, by the way.
I know, and it took me like 9 hours. And like, I'm sorry that this person happened a bad thing, but you came in and you loved it. And I was really surprised that you liked it so much. And then I was just watching you talk about it. And I was like, oh, she really did like it. And
yeah.
She's so good at telling these stories.
Oh, thanks. That's
I just
really
was
nice.
Really like, oh, and then it made me think like, this is a really fun job that we get to do.
Well, I didn't say, I just said, oh, because you were like, can we, is there anything we have to talk about? I was like, well, I have 40 pages of notes, there is a lot to say. Most notably, Sergeant Mark has a Muppet of himself in his office.
He does?
I love Muppets.
How did I miss that?
It's a dream of mine to like hug a Muppet. I want it like, they must be so little and fuzzy.
What's your like, which Muppet would you hug if you could?
Oh, I'm not, beggars can't be choosers, no way.
Okay.
I mean, Rolf I love, obviously.
Yeah.
I think Elmo, I think we can bond about our hatred of Rocco. I think Elmo's super right on the Rocco beef.
Yeah. We've covered that on this podcast before.
Many a time.
You know what I mean?
I'm very like, I'm on the record.
I know.
A line was drawn. I'm siding with Elmo. Rocco is a rock. So
I considered calling my book Chaos Muppet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Forward by me. Introduction by me. Annotations by me. Conclusion by me.
Uh-huh.
I think Muppets are adorable.
And then Steve writes the companion book.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
But anyway. Go back and forth. So this guy, Sergeant Mark, gets another call.
I received another phone call from a person in the community who advised me that the crew of a local fishing vessel called the Twin Maggies had just come in and that they were believed to be carrying a rifle or shotgun. I instantly began, of course, to suspect that there was something going on here, that something illegal.
The guys on a vessel called the Twin Maggies have guns. And Sergeant Mark is like, what? God damn it. So the crew of the Twin Maggies now has to get questioned by police. The guys on the Twin Maggies are like awful, evil people, we end up learning.
Yes.
So Joseph James Landry is a deckhand on the Twin Maggie. He goes by James, but his name is Joseph James Landry. So they call him in. This is wild. So they're literally talking about the weather and how nice the interrogation room is.
This interrogationist, I'm going to say, does a really good job. He really gets shit out of this guy.
But it's very Canadian because James is like, oh, looks like you're having trouble with the door there. Let me help you out. This is a guy who's being questioned for murder.
Yes.
And it's like, and the cop's like, don't worry, she never fully closes, don't you fret. And the cop is like, James, any idea why you're here? And James literally goes, oh, geez, I don't know. I know I'm doing like a Fargo thing, but it's not that far away from this. Like literally the geez, I don't know. And let me help you with the door there. Like, okay, you got to take it down a notch, James.
They're very kind. They just love going to the local Tim Hortons.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
But it's all, I mean, right for now.
Right.
For now.
Well, the officer is explaining yesterday there was an incident at sea between the vessel you work on, the Twin Maggies, and a gentleman named Philip Boudreau and his boat. This guy, Philip, also goes by A. Bowser. We don't know why.
And we never really hear him refer to that ever again. And all of his
A.
best friends.
Bowser?
We meet like his best friends, the people who loved him, and they never call him A. Bowser.
Yes.
All right. Since that collision occurred, Mr. Boudreau is now a missing person.
Never seen him.
You never seen him, okay.
Never seen him. Maybe he's cutting the wood.
James doesn't know anything. He's never seen Philip Boudreau. Maybe he's hiding in the woods, LOL. Like, James is like, Philip who? Say that name again. I'm like, I thought this was a small, close-knit community where everyone is practically related.
The thing is, he says maybe he's hiding in the woods, and I thought it was a joke. No, we learned that at one point he actually did that for 5 months.
Well,
he hid in the woods for 5 months.
With his friend, Rail.
Who we're going to meet.
So Rail Landry is here. I don't know if he's related to this guy, but there's a good chance he is.
In some way.
Because they're all, like, fourth cousins.
I just learned about a guy named Swayze. His last name is Swayze. He was like a
professional.
Well, this other, I can't think of his first name, but he was a professional game show contestant in the 70s. He's Patrick Swayze's sixth cousin.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like
Tell the truth?
Probably.
And then he's like, I'm like next to Frank Abagnale. Like
Oh, God, I love Frank Abagnale.
That's but yeah, if you can, everybody.
This guy, Rael, says he knew Philip was dead or hiding in the woods one way or the other. And that's when I was like, so this hiding in the woods thing is like a real thing?
Because here's the thing about Rael. Philip and Rael didn't grow up together because Philip was older than he was.
Yes.
And Rael's mother, who we will meet in a minute, tried to keep her son away from Philip.
My mother tried to keep me away from him all the time, and that didn't work for me. Oh, well, I know she was worried about that I was going to start stealing with him and this and that, whatever, end up in jail and whatever, and that's fucking exactly what happened.
And Philip is like a bad influence, and yeah. He's like, guess what? That's what happened. So Rael first went to jail when he was 16.
Yeah.
And now Philip
I have a note here that says, listen to your mother.
Like,
just listen. Not all mothers are great, but like in this instance, like, don't you listen to your mom, Rael.
Right. And so Philip is described as, quote, a bit of a nuisance. Like, he was kind of in and out of prison. He was stealing from everyone in town. And this is where we learn that a major part of this situation is about Lobster.
And I just want to say, the thing about Philip, like, he was a bad guy. He's missing. Something terrible has happened to him. He was a bad
They're all
guy.
Bad people.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for Rael's mom. Probably.
He didn't deserve to be killed in the way
no.
that we're going to learn that he killed. I'm not saying
Absolutely
that at all,
not.
But I am just saying that, like, for years and years and years, he's stealing lobster from these other fishermen, and they're like, don't do that or we're going to kill you. Like,
well,
they've been saying it for decades.
But...
I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying, like, just stop doing that.
But
you know?
I disagree.
Okay. All right. We'll
so
get
we'll
there.
Get into it.
This is your favorite documentary, so you win.
No, it's really not. But Rael's grandmother, who has a dog in her arms, by the way,
yeah.
says, the Lord put the lobster in the water. He didn't say, oh, this one is yours and this one is his. The lobster belongs to everyone.
Yes.
And Gabriel LeBlanc is with us, and he's a local historian.
You got every name. You can pronounce them perfectly.
It's my job. I've been doing this for 8 years.
Amazing. I'm usually just, I shorten it to first names when the last names get tough.
Yeah.
You
LeBlanc
know
really, you there?
Really stumped me.
Okay.
LeBlanc.
Gabriel, local historian, and he used to cry as a kid.
It's funny, but I remember crying when my mother prepared my lunch with lobsters, lobster meat. I didn't want to go to school because the other kids would say that I was poor.
I had heard this of lore that, like, lobster used to be what, like, the peasants ate because it was, like, so abundant and easy to catch.
So right now, it's a pretty safe bet that the most expensive thing on a menu is lobster,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, I looked it up. Lobster used to be known as the poor man's protein and the cockroach
yes.
of the sea.
Yes, yes.
It used to be served in prison because it was so cheap. But they're hard to get and keep alive, plus the travel, shipping
yeah.
them from Maine. Like, that's why it makes it so expensive. Can I say something?
Please.
I think lobster is bullshit. In terms of getting a luxurious meal, you're throwing your money away.
Uh-huh.
First of all, it's a lot of work to get the meat out.
Yes.
Once you get the meat out, it doesn't taste like anything, which is why you have to douse it in butter and lemon. I love butter. I love lemon. I'm just saying
yes,
for the price of the luxury. They fucking boil them alive.
Uh-huh.
You have to wear a plastic bib.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, like, for my money.
I never eat hot lobster. I love a lobster cocktail. So if you get, like, lobster cocktail as part of, like, a shellfish tower, love it.
All like day. Shrimp cocktail?
Literally. It looks just
okay.
like that. And, like, sometimes you have to dig it out. A lot of times it's already, like, pulled out for you. But I agree. The boiling alive is a thing I don't understand.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
And I think there are ways to, like, humanely do it. But
uh-huh.
still, like, there for my money, if you're getting lobster for the luxury aspect
yep.
of it, I don't understand what's so luxurious about doing all the work and the bib and then, like,
yeah.
it's tasteless anyway.
Right, because it's what you're saying. It's only luxurious because it's expensive.
But, like, right. So if you love it,
yeah.
if I'm totally wrong, which I'm sure I am, and, like, there's a taste to it, I don't, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's, like, a lot for what, just to say, like,
I
the
know.
Surf and tour or whatever,
no,
you're wearing this bib.
For, like, the same money, you can get a nice steak. Just do that.
Yeah. I guess I'm missing the whole thing. It's like, wow, they had to ship it from Maine. And so it's really expensive. Like, okay.
I do like lobster, but I love an oyster. I'm a shellfish tower guy. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
whenever
yeah.
we've gone out to dinner, like at a steakhouse, I always get the shellfish tower
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
I love it.
It.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, being a lobsterman, because there are no lobster women, apparently, in the
a
story.
A lobster person.
A lobster person. It's a great gig.
Long ago, you could buy lobster for 48 cents a pound. Now you're paying $8.50 a pound. So the fishermen are getting lots of money.
I mean, if you have a lobster license today, you've won the lotto.
You win the lotto,
yep.
basically.
But this is where we learn Philip was a poacher. You know, like, he wasn't the first. He won't be the last, they say. But sometimes he would, like, steal lobster. Sometimes he would, like, other times he would cut people's traps.
And he wasn't the only person doing this in this community.
No, but it's also, and again, I'm not justifying anything that happened to him. I'm just saying that, like, the code of ethics, like, in this kind of a community is you don't steal from the fucking fishermen. Because it's the whole community. It's everybody's livelihood. If you do that, like, you're stealing from your own people. It's just fucked. Also, just don't steal at all.
Right. But there's a major point here that we'll get to.
Okay.
Because the entire community was fucking fine with it until they weren't.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, like, I think it's all bullshit.
No, you're right.
So,
you're right.
There's a local resident here who wants his face and voice disguised. They're very serious.
I know.
But the point is, like, this isn't a mystery. Philip was killed because he was poaching lobster.
Yes.
But what happened to him was torture. He was shot. He was ran over by a boat. He was dragged out to sea. Like, there's more to it. But the point is, people are trying to say, like, whoa, wait a second. Uh-huh. We got to slow down on this, right? So, the guy being charged is Chatty James Landry from earlier. He's carrying a juice box, by the way, while he's being hauled in by the Mounties.
like a Mott's, like apple juice?
I mean, yeah, like with a straw.
A Capri Sun.
Like, oh my God. That like is so easy to spill, the Capri Sun.
Oh, I know.
Especially while you're putting the straw in. Yeah, we gotta do better.
We gotta do better.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Jake the journalist would like a word, however.
Okay.
Because he is like...
That was headline writing journalism clickbait. You know, murder for lobster. Yeah, that sells in Toronto. So they can look down on people down here and say, nah, look at them killing each other for lobster. That fits into a stereotype that's inaccurate and harmful.
As Tony Soprano would say, it's a stereotype and it's offensive. Because what he wants to make clear, and I understand it completely, like... He says they aren't just a bunch of hicks killing each other over lobster. Like, it's their livelihood.
Yes. And he's like, talking about, like, the elites, like, the fancy people in Toronto who want to, like, disparage the poorer people who live.
Like, a funny headline.
Yeah.
And it's not funny. First of all, someone died in a really horrible way. And this is, they take this really seriously. This is their livelihood. I get it.
This is literally how these people have survived for generations and generations.
Right.
You know?
So, Joseph James Landry, he was just charged, the guy with the Capri Sun or the juice box or whatever. So, we see footage of him being questioned. And everything this guy says is a lie. Again, the first thing we learned is everybody knows each other. We're all kind of related.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know Philip. I've never seen Philip. He's denying knowing that Philip Boudreau exists so much so that the point's like, you know, it might get to a point where I have to testify about this conversation, right?
Yes.
So like, if you're lying to me, I have to tell the world. So like, are you going to be honest or what?
He's also like giving him a source. So like this all went down on a Saturday and he's saying, I never saw him on Saturday. We on the boat did see Philip on Friday. We saw him on the water. He came out of the fog on his boat, rammed into the Twin Maggies a couple of times, then showed them the cutters, like the choppers, and said he was going to go cut their traps.
Right.
Like, according to this like James guy who's being interviewed by the cops, Philip was just an asshole who was just like out there trying to make everybody's life miserable.
Because James Landry continues and he's like, he's been stealing our lobsters for years and not just ours, he does it to everyone, which is like, again, that's just something you don't do.
Yeah.
Because like, you shouldn't do it in a community like this. If they don't like headlines about it, like take the livelihood seriously, right?
The other thing about the ramming of the boat is that James, the deckhand, is saying that Philip rammed our boat. Now, one boat was rammed and I wonder if James is trying to create the story as to like how that all happened.
Of course he is.
So we'll get to that. We will eventually give you the play-by-play as to what exactly happened to Philip, and that will come more into play when we get there.
And the fact that Philip is a poacher is causing a lot of tension because even after the murder, people were having like screaming matches on their front lawn over if Phil deserved this. And like, no. Like the way he died, absolutely not.
We're going to get so many people saying like, I'm not sad that he's dead. I just wish he didn't have to die at such a horrible death. It's
right,
crazy.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
So we meet Nicole, who's Rael's mother.
Oh,
remember?
She says it right here.
Yeah. She has two very cute dogs. By way. And remember, she never liked Philip.
Yes.
Right? And she was like, Rael, please don't be friends with him because he'll probably end up in jail. And Rael's like, well, guess what? That's what happened.
Right.
We don't know the name of her dogs, by the way.
We don't know the names of the dogs. But we do know that, like, she is just, like, what she says is horrifying and she has no bones about it. She says,
I'm not sorry that Philip is dead. I ain't. I know my boss went around and said that James had done a service to the community. And I'm sure a lot of people felt that way.
And I think a lot of people felt that way.
Well, now, we'll get back to that in a minute, because this documentary jumps all over the place.
Yeah.
But Rael, the friend, remember he was like a little bit younger than Philip. His mom didn't like him.
Yeah.
Rael takes us to where Philip was killed.
Yeah.
And at first, everyone was calling Rael because they were like, oh, he was probably with Philip because they did become really, really good friends. And the two of them were together every single day.
Yeah. It was really interesting because, like, they were always together. Rael is going to tell us later that at one point he ran away with Philip. Right now. And they lived in the woods together for 5 months. And we don't really know why. I think that, like, Philip was running away from something that he had done and he thought people were out to get him or whatever. So he went and lived in the woods and Rael went with him. And Rael's family, like you said, was searching for him every single day.
And then they just, like, come back 5 months later.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a cruel thing to do to your family.
It's insane. And truly, how do you live in the woods for five? I couldn't live in the woods for 5 minutes.
But I think that's what Rael is also saying, too.
Yeah.
Like, he just lived this life of just sort of, like, living off the land, whatever that meant, whether it was poaching, agree with it or not, or just being in the woods. And he was such an outcast and he just, like, learned to survive out there.
Yeah. I hope it was the warm months, you know?
Who knows?
Like, my God.
So we learn about, very quickly, the Acadian history of the community.
Yeah.
And Jake, the journalist, is like, well, Jillian, it's pretty simple. And I'm like, thanks, Jake. Can't wait. He's like, basically, our ancestors were on the run for quite some time.
Yes.
I Googled, because he says, like, the present day people still have that spirit and that resistance to authority. So I Googled and it says, having been under British rule since 1713, the Acadians were removed by authorities at the outset of the French and Indian War because of their refusal to take an unqualified oath of allegiance to the British crown.
Holy shit.
Fuck you, colonizers.
Yeah. Yeah, but we will really learn that.
A fisherman is a shark, predator, likes to settle his own scores. They don't feel that the people that are in the law or representing the law are doing an adequate job. But then they would be the last one to cooperate with them to get to any case done and done well.
That is how this community of fishermen really lives. They don't trust law enforcement to do the right thing or to move quickly enough or to handle situations. And they talk a lot about vigilante justice in this community of fisher people.
Yeah, because Gabriel, the local historian, says a fisherman is a shark, a predator. He likes to settle his own score. So they don't believe in the law. They don't believe in cops.
Yeah.
And they're certainly not cooperating with them.
No.
So June 6th, 2013, the Twin Maggie's crew was arrested, all three of them.
Yeah.
So Captain Dwayne Sampson, who everyone is like, perfect gentleman, lovely guy. And
yeah.
I'm like, really? Because he did this.
Right.
Deckhand James Landry, who we met, who was the one who was like, I don't know anything about Phil. And then he's like, well, actually, here's what happened.
Yeah.
And another deckhand named Craig Landry. Craig and James are third cousins. I Googled that.
Like, it's so bizarre that they don't tell us that. They have the same last name.
Yeah,
you know?
And I guess it's just assumed because that one person said we're all practically related.
Uh-huh.
But I still would like to know to what end.
Well, couldn't agree more.
Right. So now we get a different interview with James Landry because the first one was very folksy.
Yes.
And everyone was friendly, and
well,
now not so much.
No, because now he's been charged with second degree murder.
Well,
you know, right?
Choices were made, James. What do you want? You do. I mean, there's an old saying that goes, don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Yeah, I mean, he's just saying that he didn't do it, but he's reiterating how much he
hated. I just said that. That was the cheesiest, worst thing I've ever said on the show. But it's true. Like, how else can I say it?
I know.
He's all mad. Like, you tortured and murdered this guy. What do you want?
And they will learn that they tried to hide the body. Like, I think they thought they were going to get away with it or something.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, he's just saying that, like, you know, he stole from us. He stole from our traps. He would cut our lines. Like, they just hated this Philip guy. But he, at this point, is saying he did not do it.
Because the cop is like, look, I get it. This guy's stealing from you.
Yeah.
It pisses me off, too. James,
yeah.
Like, why don't you tell me what happened? And James is like, well, honestly, it's not just stealing. Like, Philip did a lot more over the years. Now, we're back with Jean-Claude, who's a fisherman. He was with us at the beginning.
And he's
Philip's cousin.
Yeah, he's Team Philip.
He tells us something that changes everything. Yes, Philip stole constantly.
His best customers was the lobsters. I need poached lobster, but I'll be selling them to them for $4 a pound. They'll keep it and store it, and they'll sell it for $78 a pound. That's how he started, the poor bastard. If the people wanted to ask him for anything, he wanted to do it.
He was stealing for people in the community, including the three guys on the boat that killed him.
Yes.
So he would steal radar detectors. He was stealing generators. And nobody gave a shit until it personally affected them. And then they had a major problem.
But also he was like poaching lobsters and selling it to the other fishermen.
So all of the lobstermen were in on this shit.
Exactly.
They were paying Philip to steal from other boats. And like this
including
guy was like,
the guys who killed him.
Yes. Everyone was in on it. They were paying him to steal. That's how this guy made his living, and everyone was stealing from each other. And now, and then they turn around and talk shit about him.
Yeah.
But when he was still alive, Philip was doing this for 25 years, and so was everybody else. And they created him and then destroyed him. So I really find it hard to believe, or hard to reconcile, or hard to like deal with when everyone's like, "Well, it was a service to the community." Excuse me, you all paid him.
I know.
You all just made. I know choices were made, but everyone was fine with it until they weren't all of a sudden.
But I feel like something is being left out of the story here, right? Like, it can't, you know what I mean? Like, so like yes, he was stealing for everybody and then selling to everybody. But then at some point, like the guys in that boat that killed him, the twin Maggies like decided no more stealing and now we're just going to kill the guy. Like, I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, I just think when you sort of live a life like that, and I'm talking to all of you here.
Yeah.
Like, of course shit's going to go bad and there's no loyalty and everyone's lying and there's deceit and there's the, like, of course you're just going to start hating each other.
Yeah. And we're also going to learn that like Philip just had like a really shitty life. Like this was like, the, like he had like an eighth grade education. We're not there yet, but like his parents, you know, he was like, he's a victim of his circumstances and people were taking advantage of him.
Of course.
And the way that it's described when he started stealing was he did it because it made people laugh. It got him attention. It got people to like him.
Yeah.
And then he started doing it for money.
Yeah.
But you know, this is a guy that was like taken advantage of his whole life.
Yeah. And there's more to it. So we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But Rael's mother, who didn't really want her son hanging out with this guy, she's like, let me tell you, the same people who bought Philip's stolen items are the same ones talking shit. And she's like,
it appalls me that the people that did buy from Philip are the ones that didn't want him around. And now that they know that it's okay to shoot Philip, now that's all I hear about Rael. If I catch him here, I'll shoot him. What am I supposed to do?
I can't help but think about my own son because these people could turn on him at any moment, just like Philip. And they're saying as much.
Yeah.
Because she's like, wait a second. They think it's okay that Philip was killed. And now, like, they're even saying, well, if I see your son doing it, I'll shoot him too. And she's like, wait, what?
Right, because he was the number two. Like, he was Philip's best friend. And now he's, like, been promoted to the head stealing guy.
Right.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We learn more about Philip, that he was in and out of jail, and he didn't hate it.
Because he used to do things like that to get himself a bed to sleep for the winter. You know what I mean? He'd go to jail, and he spent 3 months in jail. He was warm. He was fed. He had made friends. He liked going to jail because there was no place at his house. Rael used to say he used to sleep under the table with his dog.
there was not a place for him. This was not a person who was loved and taken care of.
Yeah, and know? Like, this was the only life he knew. So he was encouraged to steal on the outside, and then he'd spend a few months in the pen and get inspired by what he heard about in there, and the cycle continues.
Right, and the cousin Jean-Claude says, like, everybody would hope that, like, a person like that would change, that people can change, but if nobody actually thinks that you can change, you're not going to change.
Right.
You know?
Because then on top of that, we learn that Philip had two sides to him, right? He was amazing, the best, loved his dogs, he was the best dude ever, and then on the other side of the coin, he threatened to shoot your kids, he threatened to burn down your house, he'd steal your shit.
Yeah.
And someone says, like, he just needed mental health services that he wasn't getting.
And we start to see a lot of paperwork. We're seeing, like, all of these, like, I don't know what they are, if they're hospital records or jail records
they're
or whatever.
School. They're from his school.
They're just warnings. All of them are warnings. They're just saying, like, he's becoming more violent, he's becoming more aggressive. It's only a matter of time before people act towards the offender in a physical manner. Like, they're saying he's getting worse and nobody's helping him.
And they say this individual is an easy prey for peer pressure, which is like, hey, Phil, go steal that thing.
Right.
Like, it's that's how it starts, right? Yeah. And one of the documents says that his mother felt that her son was a good worker and was close to him and loved him, but didn't think he was responsible. And so it's like, where, like, no one...
Then because, why are you making him sleep under the table with the dog?
Right? Like, it says, like, oh, the offender was interviewed and so he sometimes he gets worked up and he felt the need for psychiatric help. He wants to leave the area.
Yeah.
Like, these are all highlights. He said he wanted help and he wanted support, but he just wasn't getting it.
It was like the kid in that school shooter documentary. You know what I mean? Like, when the kid is begging for help, but nobody cares and nobody gets it to him, like, of course we're going to create a monster.
So this was in front of everyone's faces the entire time.
Yes.
And then everyone is supporting the stealing. They're paying him. And it's just, I think it's just ridiculous. I think the whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's like, we're back to that interview with that James guy. And like, the cop is saying to him,
they found pieces of fiberglass from Philip Boat embedded in the hull of that ship. That tells the forensic investigators, without a doubt, that at some point in time during that altercation, that the twin Maggies drove right over top of his boat. And that really destroys your credibility. And I hate to do that to you because you're a decent person.
So, like, we're about to go into the trial and we're going to learn what really happened that day. But it's like the story that he had been telling was that Philip had rammed their boat. He was being really aggressive with them. But the evidence doesn't support that. The evidence supports that the twin Maggies had rammed Philip's boat.
Right. And, like, what happened that we got to this point?
Right.
Again, if everyone was fine with it, which we hear from everyone that they were. So now we're in court. We have audio but no video. And Shane Russell is the prosecutor, a.k.a. the Crown Attorney.
Yeah.
Because that's how they do it in Canada. Constable James is on the stand and he's being asked about the damage to Philip's boat. Philip is the murder victim. And he says the damage is extensive. But he says, we hear the audio, he's like, I'm with like a heavy heart.
Oh, yeah.
I ask forgiveness of the court, my lord, because I may use a swear word to describe this. And they're like, okay, get on with it. And he's like, so in regards to the damage right through the hull of the boat is what you're asking?
I would call that beat to fuck, my lord.
I would call it beat to fuck, my lord. And I'm like, beat to fuck, my lord.
I love that he like just couldn't think of another way to say it.
It was beat to fuck.
It was beat to, that's the only way that's going to adequately describe how the boat looks.
And you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
We see the photos. That boat was destroyed.
I would say it was beat to fuck.
It was beat to fuck, my lord.
My lord. I know.
Like, thanks for the trigger warning.
I know.
Guy. Constable.
But this is where we also get a major piece of information, because we learn earlier in the day, on the day that Philip was killed, Philip had been on the street trying to sell lobster to a fisheries officer, like an actual officer of the law. And the officer saw him do it, didn't buy the lobster, but walked away. So this is just another example of the authorities knowing what he's doing, but not really holding him again. Like, the point is, if they had arrested Philip, like they should have, he would have been in prison that day or in jail that day, and he wouldn't have been killed.
Right. So, like, you can't take the law into your own hands, but the law wasn't doing its job. And this was going on for 25 years.
And the reason why this fisheries officer didn't arrest him is because this officer knows the community wants Phillips' services.
Right. No one was
complaining. That's the point. Yeah.
So, like, you're sitting here now, the law didn't do their job, but no one was complaining. Everyone was fine with it until they weren't. Every single person looked the other way, whether it was if he had a bed to sleep in at night, whether he was getting the mental health services he needs, or whether he was stealing generators or lobster or whatever. Nobody gave a shit about this guy. And he thrived in that community.
But I think it's also trickled down. I think that's an example of, like, it was like organized crime. Like the whole system was too big for these police to handle. All these fishermen are taking all of the shit into their own hands. They're all stealing from each other. They're all selling to each other.
And it's also like, well, don't get Philip off the street because I need that generator. generator.
Exactly.
So that, like, right. Then they'll be mad at the cops.
Well, that's what
for
I'm saying.
Doing the job. It's like
the fisheries officer didn't not arrest him because he liked him. He didn't arrest him because Philip is part of the system that is bigger than the authorities can handle.
And he was selling stolen lobster to the cops.
Exactly.
So they're implicating themselves.
Yeah, for $4 a pound.
Like,
it's
my God.
Steal, literally.
So back to the James Landry interrogation. And we have this very anticlimactic confession. He just sort of blurts out.
Was he out there throwing out your traps again when you guys approached him that morning?
Yes.
Yeah. You're the guy that was firing the shots at him?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many shots did you fire at him?
Four.
They shot him four times.
But this is what I'm saying. I thought this interrogator was really good because he's saying, like, you know you want to tell me. You know you're a good guy. He gets it out of him because this James guy had previously said that he had nothing to do with it. We didn't
he
even
never
see
even
him
heard
that
of
day.
Phil.
And then, like, this interrogator is just poking him in exactly the right way and gets him to admit, we killed the guy. We totally did it.
Now, you might think it's over, but no. This case doesn't move forward without someone the lawyers call Credible Craig.
Yeah.
Credible Craig is Craig Landry.
The other guy on the boat.
And the guy who just confessed, his cousin, their third cousin, remember?
Yeah.
So he's a deckhand. He confessed, he flipped, and he's a key witness for the prosecution.
Yes.
So Craig testifies, and we have an actor reading it, and they edit it to make it sound like it's the real audio.
Uh-huh.
And I just really do have to say, like, in all seriousness, what you're about to hear is awful.
Yeah.
So trigger warning, it deals with torture and drowning. It is absolutely harrowing. Like, I had trouble breathing listening to
this. It's really bad.
It's really
fucking
bad.
And, like, the reenactment didn't help.
No. So what Credible Craig says is he's on the boat with James and Dwayne, the captain.
Yeah.
And they see something up on the shore. And Dwayne, the captain, says, oh, it must be Philip messing with our lobster traps again. So they go head in that direction.
Yeah.
And Credible Craig is like, we were going fast. That boat was going as fast as it could possibly go.
Yeah.
So the captain tells Credible Craig to put three shells in the gun and says, well, he's going to get a scare this time. And that's when Credible Craig's third cousin, James Landry, starts shooting.
Now, he's not shooting in the air to scare him or even like shooting past him. He's shooting at him.
And now James himself is like, I missed the first time.
Yeah.
And then says the second shot might have clipped him or something because Philip falls to the side.
Yeah.
Now, Credible Craig gets scared and looks away.
Yeah. Philip is in a boat. They're both in boats.
Yeah,
the fact that they're saying, like, they look to the shore makes it sound like Philip is on shore. He's not.
They're both in their boats.
They're both in boats. Yeah.
And so Credible Craig gets scared and looks away, and he hears the gun reloaded and cocked, and hears a third shot. And that's when Craig himself is like, stop, stop, stop. No more shooting. Stop shooting at him.
Or so he says.
So he says.
Yeah.
So after that.
And was there any more shooting after that?
No. James told Dwayne to go around, hit him, and sink him. Run him over and sink him.
Sink him, run him over, and sink him.
What is the hierarchy on this boat?
Because the captain is the captain.
Right.
The captain's number one, as it, right?
Yeah, well, James is credited as a deckhand, and he's telling Dwayne, the captain, I just shot this guy twice, now go ram his boat.
Right.
Like, what?
And Dwayne's like, okay.
All right, let's
Dwayne,
do it.
who, by all accounts, everyone says,
total gentleman.
Lovely guy.
Perfect, great
Perfectly
guy.
Lovely guy.
I love him.
Like, again, he did this.
Yes, yes.
So they ram Philip's boat. The boat was still upright. Philip was still in it.
Yeah.
Then they, like, made a turn, did, like, a U-turn, hit it again. They call full tilt, full speed. This is a 35-foot lobster boat.
Yeah,
They submerged it.
With Philip still in it.
So the boat pops up a second time, and Philip is still in the boat.
Yeah.
They do it a third time. It took three times to get Philip in the water. And this is, like, horrifying, and we're just
horrifying.
At the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Because Philip is still alive.
Right. So after this, they call it the third bang. Philip is now floating on one of those red plastic gas cans.
Yeah.
And he's screaming for James to stop.
He's begging for his life.
Begging for his life. And James and Dwayne both tell him, quote, you won't cut any more of our traps now.
So James, the deckhand, tells Dwayne, the captain, to go around the boat. And they do, this is where it's horrifying.
Yeah.
They gaff him like they would a fish, which means
I had to look that up.
Yeah.
They, like, take a hook and they shove it through his
body.
They,
like, hold him underwater and they're dragging him under the water while the boat is driving really fast.
Yeah.
And James is like, Dwayne, and then I'm like, oh my God. James Landry, the deckhand, is like, Captain, Captain, slow down. I want to get him even lower under the water. The boat and the water was so out of control that he was still too close to the surface for James's liking.
Yes.
So the captain is now like, okay, because they wanted to go deep away from the shore so that they can get rid of his body Correct. After they tortured and killed him. So the captain goes, okay, I think we're at a good spot. I think the water is deep enough here.
It's 12.2 fathoms, which is exactly 75 1/5 feet.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
So the captain's like, okay, like credible Craig, like your time to shine.
Dwayne specified to me, Craig, get the anchor. And Dwayne come out, tied 2 knots in Phyllis' neck. James took the rest of the rope, tied it to the anchor. Dwayne walked out, picked up the anchor, and dropped the anchor.
So the captain ties 2 knots around Philip's neck, and James attaches Philip to the anchor, and they drop it in the water, and he sinks to the bottom of the body of water, and that is, like, fucking evil torture.
And his body was never found.
Never found.
And they say, like, they dropped him in an area full of ocean life. You know, there's all kinds of fish and eels and animals down there. He's going to be gone in, you know, an hour.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. And, like, we don't hear from the captain.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about this. It feels, I don't know what James had on everyone. I don't know if James snapped, but for him to just be, like, giving orders to the captain, I know it sounds silly, but, like, they take that shit really seriously.
Yeah, and this is, like, the question that we've had the whole time is, like, wait a second. Why did it get this crazy? Because we know, yes, he was stealing lobster from you, but he was also stealing lobster for... So why are you suddenly so... The question is, like, what did Philip know?
I mean, to really, really oversimplify it, I think it's, like, a no honor among thieves situation.
Uh-huh.
But in this fucked up way...
Are there drugs involved?
I don't know.
Because it feels like it went 0 to 900 really fast.
Yeah, and what was he doing near the shore? Was he just, like, done stealing for the day? Is that why he was near the shore, right? Like, but still in his boat? We don't know.
So many. The bottom line is, like, this guy is admitted to killing him. I believe that this is what happened. I just don't think we'll ever really know why.
Yeah, I mean, but I also think there is, again, not justifying it. I'm really just trying to, like, grasp the straws and put it together. I think it's a no honor among thieves thing. And I think it's, like, there was a lot of pent up shit for 25 years.
Uh-huh.
And even though they were complicit in it by paying him or whatever. Like, I really do think, I don't think it takes much after 25 years of getting to a boiling point for someone to snap. But also, it really shows you who this guy really is if he's like, well, let's torture him too. You could have just shot, like, I'm just saying, I don't condone any of it, obviously, but, like, if you're just mad and want him out of the way, that's one thing. But there's, like, a real personal anger here that makes it super evil.
And they, I mean, like, the whole, like, in the spur of the moment, this is how we're going to get rid of his body. Like, no thought put into it. Or maybe not. None of that other stuff is true. Like, maybe this was all planned. Like, maybe they knew he was going to be out
maybe
there. Maybe they called him out there.
Maybe,
you know?
It was all planned. Maybe it was a way for credible Craig. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But also, I have to wonder, like, are there any other unsolved crimes in this town where it's like...
I'm sure. Like, that's what I'm saying is that, like, I think the police are just figureheads. Like, it feels like this mob of fisher... And, like, I'm not disparaging the profession. I'm just saying, what we've been told in this documentary is that they don't care about the law. They do things their own way. Everyone's looking the other way. Everyone's stealing for everybody.
Yeah.
It feels like too big to control.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
So as we are sort of winding down, like, one of Philip's friends is making a cross for Philip as a memorial.
Well, we got a plaque coming with his name, full name, Philip Joseph Boudreau, the date of his birth and the date of his death. And after that, it's going to be drilled into a rock. And then hopefully when the twin Maggie passes by and she comes for a sale, then they can see it. Then they'll think, somebody did care for Philip.
He is going to put it right where the Twin Maggies can see it, because I guess the Twin Maggies boat survived.
Well, and also that means that, like, the people who were on the Twin Maggies boat are not going to be in jail that long. Like, that was, like, my first thought. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Did they get away? We're going to find out their sentences in a minute and get ready to be disappointed, fam.
Right.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So the trial is over. James Landry is guilty of
manslaughter. Yeah.
And I'm like, not torture? And
right.
Like, what?
Because manslaughter means no premeditation.
Right.
You know?
And I don't, like, premeditation is one that, let's just say everyone snapped and things got bad. But,
yeah.
Like, the overkill of it and
yeah.
The torture of it, to me, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer and I'm certainly not one in
but
Canada.
Think about, like, the jury. Like, because somebody's even saying, one of the prosecutors says, we were up against the he had it coming defense.
Uh-huh.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I think, remember, the jury, like, lives in the community. They knew
small, tight-knit
you know,
community.
Like, he threatened to shoot my kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the lawyers wanted second-degree murder. So
yeah.
They're like, manslaughter. And then they looked around and they're like, ah.
Right.
It all makes sense.
Yeah.
So James Landry, like, eventually says to the cop, James Landry, the murderer, is like, look.
You told me not to lie, so I told you the truth.
That's all I want from you is your truth.
There you go.
Okay.
I was mad after him, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I regret to do it, but somebody had to do it.
I don't love that it was me, but someone had to get rid of Philip. And I'm like,
yeah.
Is that premeditation almost? Like,
right.
could it be?
We meet very few people in this documentary who are sad that Philip is dead.
It's true. I mean,
you know?
His friend who's making the memorial, Rail. I mean, I
yeah.
think he did mean a lot to me. I think because there is this like sort of group meeting that we're kind of in and out of a lot where
yeah.
We learn they're the only people who were just like he needed mental health services and no one was doing that for him. No one was helping him. Like he
yeah.
Was sort of like again created and then destroyed by the same community.
But he's also dangerous, it feels like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can feel sorry for anybody, but the second you say like I'm gonna shoot your kid,
of
now,
course,
now
I'm gonna
I
burn
live
your
in
house
fear.
Down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, there's just a lot here, obviously.
Yeah.
So James Landry gets 14 years in prison and Captain Dwayne pleaded who like ranks lower than James Landry, apparently.
Right.
Pleaded guilty to manslaughter and he gets 10 years in prison. And good old Credible Craig pleaded guilty to accessory after the fact. Make that make sense.
Right.
And got 2 years probation. I'm sure he pled down, but like
of course,
after
yeah.
The fact that
like
he was there.
I had the same thought. And I'm like, they were just looking for anything they could give him that would just result in probation.
Because if he gave all this information, like, I get it.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow. So James, ready for this?
Yeah, this is wild.
James and Dwayne were paroled in 2018. They barely served 5 years.
This crime happened in 2013, June 1st.
Yeah, and I think the historian or someone here says the twin Maggies fished the following lobster season.
Yeah, which is why I was thinking like when they make that memorial cross that they want to put up on the beach that when they're going out, they'll, you know,
they'll like see,
they'll
it, and,
see it.
But it's like, if you do something like that, and you pretty much get away with it.
Right.
I don't think you're really like gonna feel a pang of guilt or remorse
no.
Every time you walk by that memorial.
You're gonna chuckle.
You would hope that
yeah.
You they would. But like as we're ending, we hear about how it really ripped the community apart and everyone had an opinion. I'm like, that's kind of wild to me because they tortured and killed a man.
Right.
And everyone was fine with his poaching and stealing for 25 years until one very specific thing happened that we'll never know.
Uh-huh.
And now everyone's divided because everyone was on the side of being totally fine with it.
Right.
And now we're
yeah.
Divided for some reason.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what was it then?
Right. And it's like, are we fixing the corruption in this town?
No.
You know,
nothing changed.
Right.
That's the gag, too. Nothing changed. Everyone's still poaching lobster. There are still lobster poachers
totally.
In that town. That's that we learned. And Rail is like,
in some ways, I think there's still people out there trying to keep the world going. There's people out there that like drama. Don't tell me there's not.
This is it. This
right.
Is the life. Like,
yeah.
They love this shit.
Yeah.
And, like, his friends are saying a lot of people let Philip down. Like, he was failed by a lot of people.
Well,
and everyone
what,
is like,
that's what I, like, the image that I will be left with is Philip sleeping under the table with his dog. He's been tortured all of his life.
I know.
Nobody loved him. Nobody took care of him. Like, that's, and I've been saying this a lot lately in these episodes is that, like, I'm certainly not condoning anybody's bad behavior, but you can see how the monsters are made,
well,
you know?
Because the entire community was part of it. Like, there's another lobster poacher, beware lobster poachers in
yeah.
This little town in Nova Scotia
yeah.
Because you're next.
Right.
And I'm not saying that as a threat, but like this is the
right, you're not coming for
I'm
the
not
lobster.
Coming for that, but I'm just saying you that's the culture that you've created over decades and decades. Everyone's gotta watch their back.
It's true. In this tiny little town where everybody's third cousins.
I mean, my God. Over the cockroaches of the sea.
I know. You don't even like
at
us.
That.
I know.
My God.
Oh my God, girl. We did. What's it called?
This is called Murder in the Cove.
My God.
Crazy,
my
right?
My God.
There's a lot going on here.
Oh, fam, join the Facebook group. We're up to 52,000 members. We're all hanging out in there. We're all having fun. It's where we make all of our announcements that you need to know, but it's also where you can just make friends. And it's a nice, fun, safe place on the internet to like go hang out.
Yeah. So everyone still sends me photos of their dogs, which I love seeing. I love them all.
Yeah.
But it's also been replaced recently. I don't know what episode we were talking about this, but the Roombas are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
is saying, because ours is named Vinny Vincenzo. Yes. Mike before was like, he's always in the way. I'm like, I know he is.
We hate our Roomba. So like I like kick our Roomba on purpose.
But now everyone is telling me the names of their Roombas.
Oh,
because
really?
They've all named theirs. So so things like that. If you want to like share the name of your Roomba, for
totally.
Example, or your dog, like things like that, we're all kind of coming together.
Oh, that's
it's great.
So good. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group. Just find us on Facebook. It's heavily moderated by our moderator, Sasha. So it's a very safe place. It's very fun. It's very supportive and lovely and loving. We love it. Girl, what are we doing next?
Okay. Highly, highly, highly requested. It's going to be a tough one. I'm warning everyone. So we're going to hold hands.
All right.
Okay. It's Broken Hearts about the two white women who adopted the six black children and crashed the van.
That is a really tough one.
It's really tough. It's on Discovery Plus and HBO Max. And it really gets into like the shitty racism of it.
They
as
were
well.
Horrendous people.
They were horrendous, horrendous people.
Yeah.
So this has been highly requested. You and I talked about it not too long ago that we were going to do it.
I thought you were going to say like, this has been fun making True Crime Obsessed. It's our last episode
look,
next
I don't know. I mean, it's a really tough story. So, but we're going to help get you through it the best way.
All right. Oh God, that's really tough. It's foster care. It's a lot. All right, fam. Stay tuned for the trailer for that. And our funny and hilarious outtakes.
Oh God,
question mark? I don't know either.
Nothing after? No, I don't know.
I know.
We'll see.
All right, I'm going to go have some lobster dinner.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
No.
I know. Lobster bisque, though.
It's 1,000 degrees outside and the humidity.
I know.
Bisque in this economy.
All right, we love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
What caused a family to drive over a cliff to their death? That's the question multiple agencies from California to Washington are investigating.
This was not a normal traffic accident from the very onset, and it continued to be anything other than normal.
911, how can I help you?
Yeah, there's some kids that I feel is being highly abused.
You have two sets of children not tracking in terms of their normal development. Why do they all have the same condition?
Abigail, we mentioned her mom gave her an owie.
Devante, he was saying our moms, they're punishing us. They're depriving us of food.
Eventually, Jen and Sarah learned the obvious lesson, remove the children from school.
Jen seemed to be this super mom, this champion of racial reconciliation.
But in this case, when you start putting the totality of everything together, you know, something's rotten here.
How can we be so close to something so awful and not even know?
Oh my God. Oh.
Lobster is worthless as far as I'm concerned.
I really do like it, but I would never order a hot lobster. I would never be like, give me the 5-pound lobster.
Like a surf and turf.
The surf and turf is good because it's pulled out of the shell. And it's any lobster like pulled out of the show, but it's not like, to me, it's not.
Because like lobster dinner and you see the bibs and everything.
Yeah,
now you're doing all the work, right?
Yes. At Capital Grill, when I worked there, they would give you the lobster and if you asked, they would pull all the meat out for you.
I mean, you got to request, is that extra?
No, but it can take a long time.
I mean,
because a 5-pound lobster is like.
It can take a long time, but you want me to do it. And
right.
Then pay, it's the most expensive thing on the menu.
I know. And you're still eating shell. Like it's, forget it.
I just don't get the.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.